So good to be here. Well, good. Well, today's Memorial Day. Last week, we studied chapter 5 of what book?
Revelation.
Good. You have been paying attention. We're going to look at chapter 5 one more time, but in a different light. I left last week. We looked at, here, let's just open up our word, chapter 5 of Revelation. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and it's Jesus. He's the Lamb. He's the one on the throne. He rules. He reigns. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I heard the Lord speak to my heart and he said, first wash the inside of the vessel with clean hands and clean hearts. I was reading Proverbs 21 and it said that the sacrifices of the wicked are an abomination. But he was talking to the priest and Haggai said, if one has some holy meat, let's say that same guy, he's defiled because he touched a dead body and he touches those same thing. Now, do they become unclean? And then he said, yes, they do. You see, only God can clean. And sometimes we walk through this world and we get dirty, don't we? I mean, we're saved. But sometimes we walk through things and we get dirty. We walk here just going, man, in mad to worship Jesus, I just need to get clean. And that's what he wants us to do. So how do we do that? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar, go your way, first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Jesus says, I don't even want the gift until the issue is dealt with. And so he says, leave, reconcile, and then come and present your gift. And then now, all of that's holy. The relationship between you and the Father are holy. The relationship between you and your brother is holy. And now the gift is holy. It's given in a pure heart. And he's asking you to do these things, to come clean, if you would. And that's what I've titled today's message is to be clean. Prepare yourself throughout the week to come here clean. Not that you can't come here broken. We do. But the Lord desires that we come in here clean. He says, clean the inside of the cup that the outside might be clean. I mean, all of us have put on our Sunday best. We've taken a shower, praise the Lord. But sometimes we come in here with bitterness. Sometimes we come in here defiled because something at work or a relationship. Or maybe I'm dealing with anger and I brought that here. Now, the Lord doesn't condemn you. We're not looking at some steps that you can be better. You know, 12 easy steps to be a handsome guy. No, it's one step on how to trust the Lord. Take him at his word and to walk in his truth. And so today I want to look at four areas of battle that we work on that we can ask the Lord to help wash. That when we come, we could be acceptable. I mean, I was looking this morning in Romans. I'll just read it to you. You don't need to turn there. To present your bodies holy and acceptable to him, which is a reasonable service of worship. And so the first thing I want to look at, before I went to chapter 6, I really wanted to look at these four areas just to equip us, to help us. Weird thought. And here you are worshiping the Lord all of a sudden, whang! Or you're in the middle of prayer. And all of a sudden you think, did I turn the coffee pot off? But I say, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery within his heart and murder. You see, the heart and the mind are connected. Won and lost in the mind. And the discipline is to have the mind of Christ. But on the way home, you just replaying that, rewind, play it through again, rewind, playing it through, rewind. And the Lord says, stop. Stop it. The remedy is reading the word. But mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, I had a weird dream, and I have no control of that. But I ask for forgiveness anyhow. Lord, would you just cleanse that? The thought life. It's so important. The thought is connected to the heart. And we have to watch that. We have to protect that. You're jealous because maybe somebody has something that you don't. Or they have more things than you have. The best remedy is to give things away. Love is like a magic penny. You hold on tight and you won't have any. You have to give it away. And you have to give it away. You see, Timothy, it says in 1 Timothy 6, now godliness with contentment is great gain. I think back of that man by the name of Cain. Him and his brother brought offerings to the Lord, and Abel's offering was accepted and Cain's wasn't. And Cain got a little angry to the point that he was jealous, to the point that he murdered his brother over a sacrifice. Wow. The Lord says, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, here it is. Sin lies at the door and its desire is for you. Or literally, it's crouching at the door. Sin, this jealousy, is likened to a predator. Like a cougar. A mountain lion. Takes on form, doesn't it? Sin is right there, ready to gobble you up, but you must rule over it. You must have power over that. He was jealous. What about Miriam? Do you remember that time when Miriam and Aaron got jealous? She looked at her, oh, does God only talk to Moses? Doesn't he talk to us as well? And the word says that God heard it, which is interesting because God hears everything. But God specifically wanted us to know, I heard that. And he says, okay, all of you, come here. It reminds me with me and the kids. Come here. Eye to eye. Who's playing with the toothpaste? Let me smell your hands. Who are you, Miriam, to talk like that to Moses? Wow. And jealousy is just that way. It's just like leprosy. It starts off, you see, it's a nervous system thing. It starts to deaden them and you can't even feel it. Is after a while, you don't even feel the pain until you're bleeding out all over the place. And you'll lose a limb. There's a lack of the consciousness that God's here. And so you try to mimic it with something else or do it on your own. Be careful with what you think and be careful about jealousy. It's one of those things that defile us. It's equal to bondage. Its root is pride and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. It's pride. But the discipline is to walk in humility. We have to wash the inside of the cup before we can walk in humility. Peter saw Cornelius and watched the Holy Spirit fall on them. Should the Gentiles become Jewish? Should they continue to follow the law of Moses? And there's this big argument. And finally, it was James who stepped up and he said, you know what? Our fathers couldn't do this. Why are we making the Gentiles do this? And this is the letter that they wrote to the Gentiles. And they said, abstain from things polluted. Now, these next things will pollute you. Idols, sexual immorality, things strangled in blood. Now, those things strangled in blood dealt with the eating and drinking of blood because that was the pagan way. The sexual immorality was the culture of the day. But the idols, when Paul went to Athens, that's all he saw were idols, idols, idols. When I went to India, idols, idols, idols. But you know, they can be things that we own. You know, I can make my property an idol. I'm selling some of my property in Oregon. And from time to time, I check up, see how it's doing. I get a report, you know, did he mow the lawn? How's the fence looking? And I can make that an idol if I'm not careful. Or my car. Some of us have idols made of steel and rubber and chrome. And we rub it, and we rub it, and we rub it. or Moloch. Moloch was the god of prosperity and money. And some of us can make our work our idol. And we place that right above the Lord. I'd be there, but I've got just one more paycheck. When asked, how much does one need to be rich? Rockefeller said, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Idolatry. Back in AD 90, the disciple John wrote his first epistle, and he had to tell the church in AD 90, only a few years after Christ, he said, little children, keep yourselves from idols. And I don't think that the church then was struggling over little figurines. I just think they placed things that were idols in their life. Anything can be an idol. If I want to wash the inside of the cup, ask yourself, how much time do you spend in front of a screen that most assuredly, I tell you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. You see, the bad thing about idolatry and sin, when Delilah finally got her claws into him, when he finally told her where the source of the strength was in his hair, the Philistines came in and were right. Sin blinds, sin binds, and then it grinds. You don't realize where you're going, and you're blinded by it. You don't even see the truth. And then it binds you, and you'd like to stop, and then it grinds, and life starts to have its way grinding on you. We have a non-believer in our family. One of my children said, Mama used to say that this individual used to be happy all the time and funny. And and if you don't have the Holy Spirit, the world grinds on you. Sin grinds on you. So we need to be careful because it's bondage. And really, it's all about pride. A wise man once said, it's better to walk in humility than to grovel or to crawl in humiliation. And then finally, the last battle that we need to look at, it's careless words. We all clear our throat. Careless words. The discipline, guarding one's mouth. If Job can say, I make a covenant with my eyes, I can make a covenant with my mouth. Here's a discipline for you this week. You ready? Try not giving your opinion unless asked. Try it. I tell you what I think about it. I'm joking. It's a good discipline. Because we're so ready to tell you what I think that we're not even listening is what's happening. As I'm so ready to tell you what I think, what you have to say is irrelevant. But it's more than just that. Jesus says, I tell you that every idle word men may speak will be given account on the day of judgment. Every idle word. Jesus says this. Here we're gonna connect now the mind and the heart. Now we're gonna connect the heart and the mouth. Jesus, a good man out of his good treasures brings forth good, and an evil man out of his evil treasures brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, how did it get in the heart in the first place? The mind. That's why we have to guard our mind. Because it worked its way into our hearts, and it worked its way out of our mouth. James says, with these mouths we praise God, and with the same mouth we curse our brother. It's like, can water be fresh and brackish at the same time? It can't. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire. Well, it's just a cleansing message because I think the Lord wants us to be clean. Amen? Amen? He wants us to be clean. He wants the cup to be clean that when we come, I like Psalm 119:9 says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed the words that I've spoken to you. What a good way to get clean. These four battles that we struggle with, we can find remedy really in the Word. I was reading 1 John this week. Says, but if I walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I want to come in here so I can serve and to give, to worship with clean hands and a clean heart. Putting our trust in Him to clean the cup. When we show up, we're clean. There's a oneness there. In Israel, I was looking at this vine. My relationship with the Lord needs to be one like that, where I and the Lord are one. It's less of me, it's more of Him. And it comes with just His blood cleansing me. The same relationship that the Father has with His Son, He wants that union with you and with me. And that comes from just allowing Him to cleanse me. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He wants to be at one with you completely. And so many times I come in here just rash after a battle or whatever. And I come through the doors and I need to slow down before I come in here and say, Lord, how's my heart? Am I clean? It's not a formula. It's not a method. You don't have to be perfect if you walk in there. That's not what I'm saying. But if I'm struggling with something throughout the week, I need to be confessing that, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, cleanse me. Lord, make me more like You. The Lord desires that we worship Him in spirit and in truth. Isn't that interesting? Those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. He wants our spirit to be at one with His spirit, and He wants us to walk in His truth. So as we come and worship Him, you know, that's the greatest privilege at all, is to worship the Almighty, is to fall down as the elders do here in Revelation 5 and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. So today's message is just simply this. The centrality of heaven is Jesus, and everyone worships Jesus. And today what we looked at is, let's be clean, that when we worship Him with clean hands and with a clean heart. And let's grow, let's mature as Christians. There's things that we all struggle with, things that defile us throughout the week. You know what? Let's have the mind of Christ and take every thought captive. And let's come clean. You guys are way too quiet for me today. I just have this sense of awe about God, that He desires to do a work in me that is beyond my imagination. And, you know, I think He wants that same thing for you. That's not my opinion. I think that's what the Word tells us. He desires that we come to the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's not work, that's faith. I am cross-eyed, single-minded for Jesus, and I want to be clean. I want to be free, and I want to be used. I don't want to just sit on the shelf like a baseball mitt during football season. I want to be used. Would you allow the oil of an anointing to soften any rigid area in my life that needs to come to the obedience of Christ? Let's pray. Father, I thank You for just another opportunity before we move forward, and is to stop and see and recognize that You're doing something. And we don't want to bring defiled worship. We don't want to come in here and pretend or play church. We want to come here with clean heart. Some of us have been battling things in our lives, desiring strength, ready to be used for You. As we just took this break out of the text to look at the context, Lord, I pray that You would just breathe life into our mortal bodies, that we would be clean. Your Word says that He who the Son sets free is free indeed. So we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.